Project Command. Stand by a power transfer.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Around the world, and welcome to the Caravan to Midnight DEFCON 1 prologue for 7 April 2025. Tonight, first time on the program, Mr. Rob Roselli will join us, and I'll tell you all about him and some background on his work when we get closer to his advent in about 1 hour from now. Joseph Meyer has taken a spill and injured himself pretty badly, so he wanted us to tell you that the Straight Money Analysis newsletter will be a few days late reaching you. Yeah, hour and a half long surgery, the lot. And I advise everyone to avail themselves of the special deals that Joseph Meyer offers us at straightmoneyanalysis.com by way of multiple newsletters. People who have subscribed to his newsletters knew well in advance that tariffs were on the horizon because he just has access to information most people don't have. This is why he doesn't have 2 million views on his YouTube channel, so to speak. He doesn't have a YouTube channel, but if he did, he would not have 2 million, because Joseph is a purveyor of arcane knowledge. It is knowledge that is known only to the few, but he has never missed, not once. He's been an expert witness in numerous federal cases involving money, and he is a most reliable source for gazing into the future, absent the crystal ball, to see exactly what's going to go on and approximately when it's going to break loose. And it has broken loose. All this nonsense about tariffs, just believe nothing of what you hear coming from mainstream media and you'll be all right. Seriously. Because these people will drive anybody right up the wall. They'll drive somebody further up the wall who is already going up the wall. It's just insane. It really is. Question about your dietary habits. I know it's a personal thing, but we're one-on-one here. Have you had your Nucleo today? I took my Nucleo today. I took a cocktail, yes, Nucleo Boost, Camelicious with Technon, yeah, in some purified water, and kaboom. Makes you feel so good, you can't believe it. Stabilize that gut biome. I said it right, gut biome, right? Don't reverse the first two letters, don't do that. That's probably something entirely different that's studied by specialists with a double sets of rubber gloves on. Anyway, I digress. I'm being snarky. It's a snarky Monday. And I received a lot of information over the weekend that we suspected this, maybe even on a subconscious level we knew it, but this surveillance state is absolutely so far advanced it would defy the imagination under normal circumstances, and the circumstances we find ourselves in now are anything but normal, would you agree? By the way, this will probably be the last time that we go just with audio and kind of do the radio thing over the television. I think we'll have a sound and a vision tomorrow night. I just thought I'd tell you that. But I received this huge document about what these cell phones do, and a random comment today from my fellow at the post office who said, oh yeah, that's why they don't let you remove the batteries anymore, because even when the cell phone is off, it's still listening, it's still watching, it's still doing its thing. So what do? Well, we put it on the charger. Even while the phone is off, well, the battery's still in there. We haven't hit the on button and gone through the, you know, put in the little digit code, however many digits you have on your phone to access the whole phone. But that thing listens all the time. It can tell when you're, and it has proximity sensors. Yeah, it's just unnecessary, but if they can do it, they will do it. We could do this, but no, it's just too much fun for these people who develop these projects. I suspect that is a key component. It's fun to do this. These things know when you're sleeping. They measure all kinds of things, from respiration, pulse rate, if you're in the room, if you're not in the room. These phones know. And I'm wondering why everybody is unaware of the potential for this ongoing continual spying. Many people will respond to such a proposition by saying that, well, they don't have anything to hide, so why should they worry? Well, I understand that, but that's not really the key issue here. For me, the key issue is, why are they allowed to do this at all? Why is this continual invasion of privacy even permitted? Why? Because nobody has reared its collective ugly head and told them, you either stop that or we're going to drive you into extinction. We'll just stop using your products altogether. I mean, do you notice how much time people spend looking at those screens? A double screen if you've got the one that opens like a book, or just a single screen if you've got an iPhone or something. And of course, the enticement is that, I remember some years ago, oh, I'll quit the film business altogether if they ever make a movie with an iPhone. Well, more than one has been made with an iPhone, and nobody can really tell the difference because digital is digital. But back to this privacy invasion thing. Let me just run a few things past you here. This is from domesticsurveillance.org. I'll read it from top to bottom. FBI/CIA/NSA/ Domestic Surveillance System, Rise of the Hammer. Now, you know very well by now that Mary Fanning has been all over the hammer for years now. Mary Fanning of TheAmericanReport.org, which I urge you to read. Just go to TheAmericanReport.org and read all about it. Scorecard, Medusa, Dragnet, Thor's Hammer, Hannah, Killshot, Courier, Hanging Chad, Spirit, as in Spear the Fish, not Spirit as in, right, a heavenly spirit, S-P-E-A-R-I-T, Spirit, and others. There are real computer programs, and these are some of the names of them. They are designed to run on the hammer. Anyone else telling you different is lying. How do we know this? The FBI, CIA, NSA, domestic systems were built under classified contracts with CIA, DOD, DNI, HS, AF, DIA, DNI, and other U.S. intel agencies. The hammer was built for foreign surveillance, but it was turned on the American people and their businesses by some bad actors in the U.S. government, starting with that filthy, diseased, skeletal little thing that was so stylish to elect to be president. That would be Barack Obama. The U.S. government weaponized the IRS and the FBI, targeting whistleblowers and conservatives. These acts constitute Fourth Amendment violations on a mass scale. Don't be fooled into thinking these FBI, CIA, NSA domestic surveillance programs only collected phone records. These illegal spying programs that targeted Americans, collecting personal and business documents, financial records, phone records, medical records, internet searches, emails, SMS, MMS, images, login credentials, IRS records, social security information, IP addresses with geolocation information, corporate records, corporate IP, attorney-client communications, attorney-client documents, voter information, voter records, government communications, classified documents, all collected in these illegal spying programs without a single court order allowing them to collect this information. These programs hack Twitter, Google, Instagram, Facebook, and other social media company servers. U.S. voting machine manufacturers and their employees were hacked in illegal FBI, NSA, CIA domestic surveillance programs we worked in, goes the author. The proof was provided to the DOJ and the FBI by a whistleblower in 2005, 2008, 2010, 2012, 2014, 2016, 2020, and 2022. The data was also provided to FBI Director James Comey's General Counsel, James Baker, on August 19, 2015, and December 3, 2015. Election Systems and Software, Inc., that's ESNS, Clear Ballot Group, Incorporated, Dominion Voting Systems Corporation, Hart InterCivic, Incorporated, Microvote General Corporation, Smartmatic USA Corporation, Voting Works, Unisys Voting Solutions. How can these voting machine manufacturers expect their products to be safe and secure when they can't even protect their companies from being hacked System Architects, Robert Mueller, Director FBI, September 4, 2001 to September 4, 2013, supplied computers for parallel platform FBI domestic surveillance system. Donald Kerr, Principal Deputy Director of National Intelligence of the United States, October 5, 2007, January 30, 2009, built parallel platform FBI domestic surveillance systems. John Brennan, Director CIA, March 8, 2013 through January 20, 2017. John Brennan converted U.S. foreign cyber surveillance systems into domestic cyber surveillance system, targeting Americans and their businesses without probable cause, February 2009. James Clapper, Director of National Intelligence, August 9, 2010 to January 20, 2017, supervised, or rather, supersized, John Brennan's domestic cyber surveillance system and provided security location to operate February 9, 2009. Targets: FBI, CIA, NSA domestic surveillance statistics collected in parallel private domestic surveillance programs we work in under contract, off the grid, and far away from congressional oversight. Number of U.S. churches hacked and spied on by the U.S. government, 111,236. Number of Secretary of State computer networks hacked and spied on by the U.S. government, 1,605. Number of Article III federal judges hacked and spied on by U.S. government, 422. Number of attorneys and law firms hacked and spied on by the U.S. government, 95,117. Why were John Brennan, James Clapper, and the CIA hacking so many Jewish synagogues and Christian churches in the U.S.? Target: Connecticut churches. Limited data provided here due to sensitive information. Full data set was provided to FBI and DOJ under limited immunity agreements. All churches listed were hacked and information collected on church and congregation. Target: Georgia churches. Limited data provided here due to sensitive information. Same thing. All churches listed were hacked and information collected on church and congregation. All churches listed were hacked and information collected on church and congregation. Texas churches. Limited data provided here due to sensitive information. Full data set provided to FBI and DOJ under limited immunity agreements. Well, I don't need to read that over and over again. That's just the disclaimer, the legal disclaimer. Target: right to life. Target: abortion clinics. Target: state hospitals and mental facilities. Target: federal agencies. Target: U.S. defense contractors. Target: satellite communications. Target: multinational companies. Target: telco companies. Target: Texas law enforcement. Target: U.S. oil producers. I mean, is this ridiculous or what? FBI, CIA, NSA domestic surveillance statistics collected in these parallel private domestic surveillance programs. Reporters hacked and spied on by U.S. government, 2,116. Number of cable news employees hacked and spied on by U.S. government, 6,033. Number of web administrators inserted into computer networks without the permission or knowledge of the business, 5,517. Number of U.S. congressmen hacked and spied on by U.S. government since 2015, 1,907. Why were John Brennan and the CIA hacking the major TV studios? Leverage. Target: TV studios. Limited data here provided due to sensitive information. Right. Target: newspapers and reporters. Target: pharmacies. What? Yeah. Target: American Express. Target: Wall Street firms. Target: Texas banks. Target: universities. Number of hotel chain networks that were hacked and spied on by the U.S. government, 2,896. Number of hotel employees hacked and spied on by U.S. government, 33,599. Number of hotel visitors hacked and spied on by U.S. government, 12,484,998. Why were John Brennan, James Clapper, and the CIA hacking so many hotels like Hilton, Marriott, Best Western, Holiday Inn, and so many more? What was the U.S. government looking for? Terrorists or leverage on someone? Target hotels. Same disclaimer. Limited data provided here due to sensitive information. Why were John Brennan, James Clapper, and the CIA hacking so many pharmaceutical companies like Amgen, Baxter, Roche, Abbott, Bristol, Meyer, Squibb, and so many others? Corporate espionage. Target pharmaceutical companies. Why were John Brennan, James Clapper, and CIA hacking retailers like Macy's, Lowe's, Home Depot, Walmart, and Ace Hardware, and so many more? Corporate espionage. Target retailers. Target clinical laboratories. And then there's a contact form. Yeah. Pretty pathetic, don't you think? And who provided Hammer and Scorecard and any other voting-related programs and apparatus to the communist Chinese? Word on the street is the Obama administration. And not just, you know, the office boys and girls either. Obama himself and his CIA director and his NSA director and his DNI director. I mean, what is this fixation with turning over our sensitive information on our citizens? We're not just talking about all the people in government, all the government offices, you know, all the bases, all the Army men and women, Air Force, Marines, Navy, all that, Coast Guard. No, it's about regular American citizens. Now, I don't want to upset anybody, but I have received information over the weekend that suggests, and I'll put it very, very mildly, it might not be a bad idea. In fact, I think it would be a very good idea if you were to pick up a couple of extra boxes of cartridges. Do you know what I mean? And remember, nobody needs to know where your stuff is except you. Now, these people are not going to go easy. And this game is farther down the road than we think. And I want you to be as ready as you possibly can be. You start with your faith, and then gear, grub, and guns. But God first. I'm saying, this is not going to go away quietly. There are some very, very desperate people who are going to do some very desperate things. Some of it will be shocking to the senses. Don't let it shock you. As soon as you see something shocking, just get hold of yourself and decide, wait and think. By the way, the geniuses in the astronomy business have decided that the moon is drifting away from the Earth. What is causing this? Gravity and tides here on planet Earth are pushing the moon away. Okay. They say so. Duly noted. Let's move on. It's that kind of thing. Now, this to me is emblematic of the sickness that now pervades the country. By the way, the South African Broadcast Corporation, the SABC, they have stopped broadcasting in Afrikaans. The maniac, idiot, backward, inbred Julius Malema, the murderous scumbag. Yeah, I'm saying, and I did say, that's all he is. Says they're going to seize all that land and nobody's going to do anything about it because it belonged to our ancestors, except for two little minor points here. Your bloody ancestors weren't even on the Cape in 1652, nowhere to be seen for hundreds and even thousands of miles when the Dutch landed in 1652 at the Cape. That's number one. Number two, why the mass starvation events if your people who are so oppressed could farm at all? Now, the only thing that your people farm are zillions of babies they can't take care of, because among these tribesmen, they have between 10 and 20 wives, and each one of those wives produce between 10 and 20 children, and you do not have to believe me, I do not expect you to do so. If it gets your attention, spend 15 minutes on a computer, and don't just use Google. To me, Google is to some degree, I'm not sure a great degree, but a measurable degree, it is politicized. Yandex is not. Some of the other ones are not. You got Tusk, you got Brave, you got Firefox, you got a bunch of them. Yandex is my preferred browser because I get results there I don't get anywhere else. They're not giving me any money to say that. They're not. I'm not even endorsing them. I'm just saying that I get better results when I use their search engines. Now, this is emblematic of the mentality that they're trying to make pervasive. Well, they've done it in South Africa, but they're trying to make it pervasive here as well. You heard that story about a Texas teen accused of killing a student and most valuable player athlete during a high school track meet? Well, he isn't denying anything. This is by Nicole Haas, BizPackReview.com. As details surrounding the horrifying event continue to unfold, the chilling words the accused killer, Carmelo Anthony, 17 years old, told police are making the rounds. Quote, "I'm not alleged. I did it," end quote, 17-year-old Anthony told police in Frisco, Texas, which is right down the road from where our base of operations used to be. We have moved it. As he was taken into custody, he said, "I'm not alleged, I did it," for the senseless murder of 17-year-old Austin Metcalf. "I was protecting myself. He put his hands on me," Anthony reportedly told police. So he just stabbed Metcalf in the chest after a brief verbal altercation with Anthony over a seat and was asked to move. Metcalf soon would die in his twin brother's arms while the boy's father watched in horror. Because this scumbag is so valuable. The alleged killer's father, Andrew Anthony, backed his son as a good kid and said that Metcalf was the aggressor. Oh, so if he was the aggressor, it's okay for your backward, inbred child to stab him in the chest and kill him. Is that right, moron? I think you should be stabbed about 1,000 times with a shrimp fork all over your backside. Just for starters. According to a police report obtained by the New York Post, Anthony reached inside a bag and threatened Metcalf. "Touch me and see what happens," a witness told police. That's when Metcalf allegedly grabbed Anthony, who subsequently pulled a knife and stabbed Metcalf in the chest. You know, not a slash on the face or, you know, a slash across the front or something like that. The stab's the guy in the chest. Several eyewitnesses were at the scene, including Austin Metcalf's twin brother, Hunter, who gave his recollection. Well, I think we've heard enough from that bunch. But this is the mentality of the savage. Would you get into a brawl with anybody and then just grab, you know, your steak knife and stab him in the chest? Would you do that? I wouldn't do that. Would you do that? Don't think so. This is what we're looking at, so I'm telling you, within the next 2 weeks, there may be some kind of an event. Now, these protests that were funded by the usual suspects, of course, who else? They're not the end of it. They're just the beginning. There are going to be more, or there is going to be more, and these attacks will increase in intensity. Let's put it that way. You don't need to go around being paranoid, go around living your life, but have you looked at the other drivers around you lately when you're on the highway? Do they, in the words of the other side of things, do they look like you? I suspect many people in the audience are thinking, no, they don't look like me at all, other than the fact that they're, you know, humanoids. I got two arms and legs and a head and feet and hands and fingers and all that, but no, they don't look like me at all. That's because your country has been flooded with people who don't give a damn if you live or die. They don't like you. They've been told their entire lives what a bunch of spoiled, weak, overweight, useless people Americans are. And I just happen to have gotten a bulletin from an immigration lawyer today giving the details on how to handle, oh, well, if you've been drunk driving or if you've done this or you've done that, all sorts of instructions on how to keep things rolling forward so that you can become a resident of the United States and eventually a citizen. I think we ought to charge a tariff on Mexico for everyone we send back, even if Mexico was just the last piece of property they crossed while on their way here. And I think we need to impose a punitive tax on every person the Canadian government allowed to cross their border into our country. That's being mean to the Canadians. Well, you think the Canadians like this? Do you think the Canadians like their government? Do any of us believe? Does anyone believe that the Canadians are just absolutely certain that their elections are free and fair? Well, let me know if you talk to a Canadian who says, oh, yes, our election integrity is the highest in the land. You're not going to get them to say that. They're not happy. Folks, Western civilization is being assaulted, and this is the final push. Now, this whole tariff thing, let me just stop on this because I'm not an economist, but I do pay attention. Go to the search engine of your choice and just look up, when did the Dow first hit 10,000? And you should come to an article almost immediately. In fact, I'm going to see if I can find it and then get it onto a jellyfish. I don't know why I haven't already, but it's a heady article, and there's a lot of reading there. And so people like sound bites, and they like their information in small doses so they can digest it, and I get that. But there weren't that many years between the Dow crossing 10,000, the Dow crossing 20,000, the Dow crossing 30,000, and Eureka, the Dow crosses 40,000. Now, to the idiot pundits out there and the mouthpieces of industry and finance, oh, this is just a great thing. It's all about an expanding economy, except for one little detail. Inflation, the value of the dollar, has dropped and dropped and dropped and dropped. When the stock market, when the Dow goes back to something normal like 20,000, 25, somewhere in there, but not necessarily 30,000, the value of your money will increase. I like to tell the story of the Marantz 2500 stereo amplifier that I bought in the early months of 1979. It was $1,890 and included a pair of Pioneer HPM 100 speakers and a little Garrard turntable. Everybody called him Gerard, but I think it's actually Garrard. Garrard, you know? $1,890 is $9,300 in today's money and some change. This is what happens when your stock market expands like that, among other things. So don't be roiled or depressed over what's happening with the stock market or the tariffs. I do believe that President Trump is a brilliant businessman. Few can deny. His dad spotted him $2 million and said, if you blow this money, you won't get another dime out of me. He'd already sent his son to military school, and his son became a roaring success by any measure. He knows what he's doing. Oh, you're just a Trump suck-up. Really, I have a response to that, but I can't say it here. I really can't. It would be rude. I'm thinking it, but I can't say it. It's something along the lines of go jump in the lake. No, I'm not. I'm not just a cheerleader for President Trump. I'm not. But I'd rather have a businessman running the business of the country than some spit-bubbling moron like either a Pelosi or a Kamala Harris or a Joe Biden or any of those other mugs. We know now, with increasing frequency, one after another, these stories come out about how corrupt these people are. And the best thing they can come up with against President Trump is, well, you know, he had sex with a smoking hot porn actress back in the day. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. And it's illegal to say, listen, you know, if I give you some money, will you keep your mouth shut? That's not blackmail. That's just a transaction. Blackmail is if they say, I'm going to tell the press, and you go, well, I've got some stuff about you that you don't want to come out, like the murder you were involved, you know, something like that, something strong. So you're going to pay me not to talk about it. You're not going to say anything about our affair. That's blackmail. And it's blackmail particularly because you're aware that they committed a crime, but you want them to pay you to keep it quiet. That's got nothing to do with President Trump. These people are paid liars. Always remember, with rare, rare exception, mainstream media presenters are paid liars and nothing more. At some point, we'll get to the British Royal Protector of American Jews, Baron Sir Eric Jack Pickles, Royal Protector of American Jews. His rotundus, Baron Sir Eric Pickles. It's right there for you, jellyfish.news, and it's not a spoof story either. It's real. And so is the situation that we're in. Hold fast to your faith and make ready for what's to come. Want a rodeo? Me too. Thanks for being here tonight. Stand by. Here it comes.
interrupt this program to bring you...
Caravan!
The deep range and into the light of the deep strange. Come at the hour, come at the caravan to midnight. DEFCON 1, live from space. Good evening, everybody. This is John B. Wells speaking. Tonight on the program, first time on the program, Mr. Rob Roselli, independent researcher and author. In the un-American genocidal complex with the un and then a hyphen, as in UN, he offers a groundbreaking analysis of historical and contemporary conspiracies, not theories, but actual conspiracies, drawing connections from American eugenics and the Federal Reserve to modern global agendas. His informal, straightforward style combines deep research with accessible commentary, relying heavily on government documents to substantiate his claims. It's really interesting. The insights are presented in his books, Theory, Livolution, but it's capital T-H-E, lowercase O-R, and then capital Y, and then capital L-I-V-E, lowercase V-O-L-U-T-I-O-N. So it's They Live is built into it. They Live, Great Society of the UN Dead, the UN American Genocidal Complex, and Pleased to Meet You. Those are his books. His website is boxofsunglasses.com. That's pretty good. I guess because all those cats wear sunglasses up there, all of them. You can't see their eyes, can't see what they're looking at, right? Anyway, it's very interesting out there, isn't it? The Federal Reserve looks like it's in, I think the Federal Reserve is on borrowed time. I really do. And I read a figure today that the first $150,000 of income may be not taxable in the not-too-distant future. Yeah, we've been under the boot of these people, and that boot has gotten heavier and heavier and heavier as the years have gone by, until finally, who was that? Loretta Lynch. Remember when that that thing under the Obama administration was saying things like, well, people going to get cash for an amount as much as $5,000. We want that reported so we can seize those funds or at least start an investigation. It's like, who do these pukes think they are? Well, they're losing power more by the minute. And I believe the majority of Americans, without a doubt, are behind this president and what he's trying to do. Because what's been going on for all these years is patently wrong. And that's about the mildest that I could put it. They just went crazy under these Obama and then Biden just doing all this stuff. Again, I ask, how is it possible to go in on a senator's or a congressman's salary or even a president for that matter and wind up leaving office with countless millions of dollars? Well, that should be obvious to everybody, really. Well, they're special. So angels come down and just deliver large sums of money to them because they're such important people. No, that's not it at all. There's going to be a bunch of shaking up. And in the meantime, the leftists are now feeling empowered because so many of them have not had their, you know, heads busted for blowing up and setting fire to various dealerships like Tesla cars and the dealerships where they're sold. A pregnant woman was injured when some idiot threw a projectile of some sort, rock, brick, something, through the windshield of a Tesla, and of course it hit her and injured her, so we shall hope that she and her baby are okay. But this is the kind of self-entitled stupidity that the whole Democrat, the continual, what would the word be? The ongoing conversation about the way, one-way conversation, about the way things should be. This is what it's gotten us. Another example, it may not seem relevant, but I think it is. This rather mousy little girl has a problem with a guy. It looks like a record and tape store, so to speak. It's some sort of an outfit like that. So she just smacks him in the chest, looks like about as hard as she can, twice, and he just pushes her, and it looks like she was on a big rubber band being stretched out, and somebody let go of her and let the rubber band retract. Just flew away. So he's being charged with battery, even though she's the one who started this. What makes these punks think it's okay to punch people in the chest? And how about this freak right over in Frisco? Beautiful kid, most valuable player, you know, MVP status, dies in his twin brother's arms after this totally deranged and homicidal kid. They have an argument over a seat, and push comes to knife in the chest. I mean, we'd get into a brawl. Some of those guys, you could hear the smacks halfway down the hall because they'd failed their grade several times. And they were approaching grown manhood, and they're still in middle school. This one guy was 20 when he finally, seriously, he was going to be 20 by the time he got out of ninth grade. But nobody pulled a knife on anybody. Stand by, more to come.
How much evidence do we need before we recognize the fact that between big pharma and big agriculture, our health is being deteriorated? While we'll not say it's deliberate, certainly, a case could be made for it. This is why Nucleo Boost has come into existence at exactly the right time. Nucleo is micronutrition delivered into your cells. The immune support component, along with the nutritional properties, make it the one supplement the human body needs. Do you know, 73% of Americans are overweight. 40% are clinically obese. The American diet is not a recipe for good health, let alone longevity. And with all the stress in the world, good nutrition is not a luxury. It's an imperative, perhaps the most important one. Nucleo is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. It is intended to be the best nutritional and immune support product on earth. Read all about it at nucleoboost.com and get some today. Your body is waiting for it. Please don't keep your body waiting.
This is L. Todd Wood. I'm the founder of CDM, or CDM.press. Big news out of the Supreme Court today. The court allowed President Trump to continue using the Alien Enemies Act to deport Trindo Aragua and MS-13 gang members from the United States without all the usual due process allowed deportees. So this is huge. It's a big win for the president, and it's being celebrated all over MAGA land, if you will. There are a lot of other court cases that are trying to stop Trump from doing his duties to run the executive branch of the United States. But we're going to continue to report on all this. Go to CDM.press, put us in your daily scan, check out our military channel, our CDM Espanol, and our 7 papers across the United States in different states at the top menu at CDM.press. Global news without the global spin.
The information and opinions expressed on this program are those of our guests or the host. They are not necessarily those of station owners, operators, or staff of any source of transmission. This is Caravan to Midnight, DEFCON 1. Tonight, The Four Horsemen, Final Act. Stand by for feed.
This just goes to the heart of the problem. Really does. I just had a little conversation going between our flight engineer tonight and myself about, you pull a knife on somebody like that, and the gangsters are going to deal with you. And isn't it interesting that, because there's good and evil, there's good and bad everywhere. It's a question of how it's managed. And in those boroughs of New York back in the day, and in Chicago and so forth, well, the mobs were quite active. Yeah, they were doing criminal things, but the criminality was confined to the criminals. They did not permit drugs in their neighborhoods. You rape somebody, oh, you're going to be dealt with. You're going to be dealt with. Won't be no cops called, and you will not be in a position to rape anybody ever again because you won't have the equipment to do so, more than likely. They did not deal with people lightly with a little slap on the wrist. Like, you do not do that in this neighborhood. yeah, we're nasty, we're dirty, we're mean, and we have, in fact, dispatched people from this life. However, it's all in furtherance of the citizens who do not engage in this kind of business. Yeah, we make our money, we do this. I'm not standing up for criminality, but what I'm saying is it exists. And if it's managed, if you keep your neighborhoods clean and you treat people with respect, you have a functioning society. If you don't, if the gangland stuff just starts smearing into normal life, now you got a problem. And believe it or not, I mentioned that story about the lady who was injured, the pregnant lady. It was in Vancouver. Well, why are people in Vancouver attacking Teslas? Because they don't like Trump. Well, my opinion is these people need to be beaten absolutely poopless and told, go home and don't ever do this again. We see you out there with a sign or anything else or raising hell in any way, shape, or form, and you're going to be beaten again. Now, in typical fashion, this communist-leaning governor of New York, Kathy Hochul, signs gun control measures requiring credit card companies track ammunition and firearm sales. Because apparently this dumbbell has never heard of this thing called the black market. Never heard of that, so yeah. Impose this on the citizens. But all of this stuff can be gotten around by anybody who wants a gun and ammunition is going to get gun and ammunition. But we're going to track your purchases, okay? And there is much more. That was just a little security check there. NATO flushes $2.7 billion down the drain in Russia's Kursk. Yeah, Ukrainian forces have lost roughly 1,500 pieces of NATO equipment valued at around $3 billion during their campaign of aggression against the Russian Federation. That's what it was. You know, people can try and hang this on Vladimir Putin, and that's fine. I'm pretty sure that if you get cross with him, you're going to be dealt with very, very harshly. And you may never make a public appearance again. Maybe not even a private appearance. But again, he built 10,000 Christian churches over there. You do not commit crime out on the street. You will be dealt with most harshly. It's just how it is over there. Now, when you think about, okay, 1,500 pieces of NATO equipment, $3 billion. So wasn't that $9 billion? Worth of gear that we abandoned in Afghanistan. So what is that? If $3 billion will get you 1,500, so we're talking about 4,500 pieces of U.S. equipment, NATO equipment, for $9 billion, and this character Biden abandons it? And what was that all about? I wonder who got paid. I bet I know. I bet we can guess. This is not really worth mentioning, but Barack Obama says he was in a deep deficit with Michelle during the White House tenure. Well, you shouldn't have been allowed to go in there to begin with, since you're a complete phony, as well as a communist. Supreme Court of the United States allows President Trump to cut $600 million in grants for DEI teacher trainings. And this headline reads, can you guess how many countries are already caving on tariffs? It's a lot. Netanyahu arrived in the U.S. today, I presume, to meet with President Trump. Don't know what the nature of the meeting was, but I suspect we can guess. And you'll love this one. This is by Ben Zeisloff, The Western Journal. San Francisco launched a controversial new traffic camera program through which residents with low incomes or receiving government assistance pay lower fines if they pay any fine at all. So if you're not low income, you must prepare to pay. Something else. This came from a lawyer that we have done some business with. You might imagine what it might be. No, not that. It's an immigration lawyer. And I get this. Over the past several weeks, we've seen a growing number of international students on F-1 visas face serious immigration consequences after mere contact with law enforcement, often before any criminal charges are even filed. A single arrest or police report can lead to the termination of SEVIS, S-E-V-I-S, records, visa revocations, and in some cases, the beginning of removal proceedings. If you are an F-1 student who has recently encountered law enforcement, even if your case is still pending or has already been dismissed, this information is for you. Why is this happening? F-1 visa holders are subject to strict compliance with both immigration and criminal laws. Even alleged criminal conduct can be considered. a violation of status leading to Sevis termination, F-1 visa revocation, potential referral to ICE for removal. Common offenses triggering immigration action. We've observed that even low-level or first-time allegations can have dramatic immigration effects, DWI or DUI arrests, theft or shoplifting allegations, domestic disputes, even without prosecution, drug possession, disorderly conduct or public intoxication. The system is not designed to wait for the full criminal process to unfold. Immigration authorities often act swiftly and without much notice. So if you've been arrested or are under investigation, the key is to act quickly and strategically. Engage a qualified criminal defense and immigration team. Seek reinstatement of F-1 status if applicable. Prepare for removal defense. Explore other visa options. Never work without authorizations. You're not alone, but you must act quickly. Well, if you're coming over here to our country and you're doing shoplifting or any other kind of crime or getting DUIs or DWIs or any of that, well, we really don't want you here. We have enough of that with citizens who are legitimate citizens. We don't need any new ones, new people coming in and behaving like that at all. So, you know, I don't want to see the cops show up just because somebody throws a cigarette butt down on the sidewalk. But when you come to a foreign country, and this is a foreign country to the immigrants, you know that old expression, when in Rome, do what the Romans do. And if the Romans don't get DWIs or engage in domestic violence or shoplift or any of that, well, you probably better not do it either. By the way, it appears that this thing about Zelensky, we're looking into this to see if this is a legitimate story or not, having 51% interest in a platinum mine in South Africa. That may or may not be true at this point. So as soon as we get to the absolute bottom of it and determine if it's true or false, we'll let you know, because we don't want to put anything out there that's just patently false. We really don't. And we avoid it like the plague. Ukrainian underground. Russian armed forces strike Izium in Kharkiv Oblast, covering an elite Ukrainian armed forces unit along with its equipment. Rumors of a decrease in army aviation activity are not confirmed. Footage of the destruction of a Ukrainian armed forces hangar in Sumy Oblast by a Victor ATGM has been published. And you'll love this. Just when you thought we'd had enough and we're done with former CDC Director Rochelle Walensky. Well, this twit is urging persons to get an additional MMR dose for infants age 6 to 11 months in high-risk areas. If the vaccine is supposed to work, why would you be required to get an additional vaccine? Because it's up to the body to build the antibodies to combat the disease, right? That's the idea. But, well, one triple dose of measles, mumps, and rubella, I say again, rubella is German measles, should be enough. But here's the other part. In case anybody missed it, I'll just say it again, I guess because I can. I want you to know, many of us, including myself, got MMR vaccinations twice. And I personally got mumps and measles twice. So I don't know, did the vaccine cause it? Or did the actual illness get past the vaccine? I think that's kind of a good question. Doge's attack on Social Security causing complete and utter chaos, staff says. But I bet everybody gets paid. There may be a day or two or three, maybe even a week delay. But these people are losing their minds because the big paychecks that were coming to so many people who are just sucking on the teat of the government's largesse. Well, there's no more milk. That's all there is to it. Exclusive by Matthew Boyle, Washington, D.C., Dr. Sebastian Gorka, Senior Director of Counterterrorism for the National Security Council, inside Trump's Jihadist Elimination Unit at the White House. Senior Director Gorka details how POTUS has done a 180-degree counterterrorism policy compared to Biden. Let's see. Trump stands by far-reaching tariffs, calling them a beautiful thing to behold as stock futures plummet. And this is one that'll really tickle everybody, but it's there. How powerful Jews at NASA hired Nazis to help develop the fake space program. how diseased Franken chickens sold in your supermarket are making you ill, and there's a story here about the computer that runs on human neurons. It's all waiting for you at jellyfish.news. These are some good stories. Republican governor signs legislation expanding the death penalty to convicted pedophiles. Brad Little, Idaho governor, signed legislation expanding the death penalty to individuals convicted of crimes involving lewd conduct with children. Oh dear. And it's funny. Death is spelled capital D-E asterisk T-H. Because I suppose if you were to actually put the word death out there, this might send somebody into conniption fit. I mean, seriously? People have become so weak. But anyway, this is crimes involving lewd conduct with children under the age of 12, House Bill 380, which takes effect July 1, also strengthens punishment for other convicted pedophiles. So the party's over for these mugs. They've had their time, and I suspect many of them are going away, probably permanently in some cases. But this equity camera thing, equity cameras go live in California if you're not low income. Well, you don't get any slack. You have to pay. But if you're low income and you have a car crash, run a few red lights, stuff like that, well, we'll reduce your fine because you're low income. I mean, really? This is Caravan. We'll be back. Toto. It was so much fun back in the old zoo days. It really was. Never could tell who was going to show up. Robert Trower came up there one time, and Alex Van Halen and Michael Anthony came up there. Guys from Toto came up there. The Cars came up there. It wasn't Rick Ocasek, but Benjamin Orr and the guitarist. Phenomenal guitar player. I don't know what they're doing now, but I know Ocasek and Ben Orr are gone. We've lost so many just prime musicians over the years. I guess that's what happens on a long enough timeline. But anyway, it's kind of sad. But anyway, Toto was up there, and then the Wilson sisters from Heart, Nancy came up with there and spoke with one of the other jocks, not me, carrying her tiny little dog with her. It was just ridiculous. And you know, I'm prepared to say that I believe KZEW-FM 98. We rounded it off to 98. It's actually 97.9, but rounded it off to 98, 98 FM. I think it's the most iconic rock station that this country ever had. I really do. Not just because I was there, not at all, but because it had such a fantastic combination of talent and a fantastic program director who went on to be a pretty big deal at Premier Radio Networks, which is senior vice president of new content for Premier. Then one of the people that he worked with went on to a Tribune, has had a fantastic career there. But I mean, KLOS in LA, undeniably great. They had the legendary Jim Ladd. For all I know, he's still on there. I don't know. I certainly hope he's on this side of the green still. And then KROQ. And I happen to have been the voice, the day in, day out, 24-hour voice of KLOS for a little while, and then KROQ and a bunch of them, EBN in Cincinnati and MMR in Philly, and DVE in Pittsburgh, a bunch of them. Even WCBS News Radio 88 up in New York City, and then later WNEW. And the nastiest thing I ever said on WNEW was this, Opie and Anthony. Remember those guys? It was insane. It really was. We're trying to make contact with Robert Zelli right now. There's any time that somebody wants to come on to talk about how they've identified the Federal Reserve as one of the four horsemen of America's apocalypse, you may have a little trouble connecting with him. It just goes that way because this is, I mean, about the only thing that we censor here is bad language. Now, I mean, really bad language. I don't mean the occasional snarky remark, the off-color word or two here and there. But that's it. Otherwise, people are pretty much able to speak their minds and go into whatever detail they want. It is interesting, though, while we wait, I'm going over to the usual suspects report that I refer to as the sludge report, the sludgery. You remember Game of Thrones? If you haven't seen Game of Thrones, what was it? It was a 10-hour movie that they made every year for 9 years, I think is what it came out to be, then give or take a year or, a group of 10 shows. But I'm seeing a thing here, The Return of the Dire Wolf. Jon Snow had a dire wolf or two. And these things are huge, and they've been extinct for a long time. A long time. Well, now they've been de-extincted for the first time. And some of these things can grow to a length, when they're standing on all fours, of 6 feet. Now, that's just couldn't you use one of those in your backyard? Yeah. But they still kind of shy away from people, even the ones who take care of them. They're like, no, you're a human. We might get into something here. We're just going to keep our distance. We're watching. We'll take care of you if anybody comes close, but we don't really want to hang out. We just kind of want to be dire wolves and do our own thing. As I look over here at this page, it's all about Texas Republicans intensify war against, I hate to use that word that starts with master, as in M-A-S-T-U-R, so I won't do that. But why would you put this in the paper? Texas Republicans intensify war against self-abuse is what it was called at one time. Let's see, marshals mobilized to warn fired DOJ lawyer over congressional testimony, which is odd. But anyway, this is why we source our news elsewhere, because there is so much out there of these well-known outfits that are simply it's so left-leaning. You wonder, why bother unless you just want your angst to be reinforced day in and day out? Anyway, the U.S. Justice Department sent armed marshals to deliver a letter warning a fired career pardon attorney about testifying to congressional Democrats. Her lawyer said in a letter seen by Reuters on Monday. So anyway, the marshals were called off on Friday only after Oyer, that's the lawyer's name, acknowledged having received the letter when she'd located it in a secondary email that she'd not been using to communicate with the department's human resources officials. I found it in an email box that I wasn't using to communicate with the officials. What? Whatever you say. Folks, rejoice. This is going to get good. It really is. We'll be back here in a minute. Take a quick break and see if we can get Mr. Roselli on. Stand by. Let's just carry on here together for a little bit and see what's going on with Mr. Rob Roselli. He was looking forward to coming on the program tonight. Flight engineer and myself, flight engineer Sean and I have been blowing his phones up. But you never know. I mean, life goes on, and sometimes some stuff gets in the way of what you had planned to do. The boxofsunglasses.com is really quite something. I mean, he is an author and a commentator. He spent a lot of years uncovering the hidden power structures influencing America and the world, with a particular focus on the Federal Reserve. Now, he's exposed how this institution serves as one of the four horsemen of America's apocalypse. Insights presented in his books, They Live, Theory, Livolution, Weird, Great Society of the UN Dead, The Un-American Genocidal Complex, I'm pleased to meet you. The Un-American Genocidal Complex, This offers a groundbreaking analysis of historical and contemporary conspiracies, drawing connections from American eugenics and the Federal Reserve to modern global agendas. His informal, straightforward style combines deep research with accessible commentary, relying heavily on government documents to substantiate his claims. But this is a good opportunity to run something past you that I have found to be, well, not entirely surprising, however, still deeply disturbing. This comes from an outfit called ResearchGate.net that was sent to me by someone I hold in extraordinarily high esteem. And it's a figure available from Journal of Ambient Intelligence and Humanized Computing. What? Yes, Journal of Ambient Intelligence. What? The intelligence that's all around you, sort of like ambient noise or ambiance, if you prefer. Although ambiance, I think it's in this case a little nicer than ambient. Ambient intelligence, humanized computing. And it starts off with several rectangles that have things written in them like hammer, H-A-M-R, and then static and dynamic activities. Whether you're sitting there or whether you're getting up and moving around, then sitting some more, and then getting up and moving around some more. Position and orientation of smartphone, classification methods, in parentheses, machine learning, deep learning, smartphone-based human activity monitoring and recognition using ML and DL, a comprehensive survey. Now, I don't want to just, you know, give you a continual rolling narrative tonight, although it's tempting with this kind of subject. Human activity monitoring and recognition, that is HAMR for short, hammer, not to be confused with hammer and scorecard, based on smartphone sensor data, is a field that promises a lot of observation in current era due to its notable desire in various ambient intelligent applications such as healthcare, sports, surveillance, remote health monitoring. In this context, many research works have unveiled incredible results. Okay, we do have the man now. So I'll carry on with us tomorrow night, but I think you're going to find it compelling, to say the least, and maybe even a little bit freaky, all the way to scary. So I just told you a little bit about Bob Roselli, so let's talk to him now. Rob Roselli, welcome to the program.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Well, I thought we'd lost you, lad. I'm glad you're sounding fit and strong, and you're with us tonight, because this is an incredible body of work that you produced. So let's just dump right into it. Yeah, you've identified the Federal Reserve as one of the four horsemen of America's apocalypse. So how has this system fundamentally shaped or harmed America's financial stability, in your opinion, in your view?
Well, the Federal Reserve, I mean, people may know, may not know. I mean, it's not federal. There's no reserves. It's not part of the federal government. There's no reserve. It creates money out of nothing, loans it to banks and the government at interest. And that's basically it. I mean, that's it in a nutshell. But, I mean, it's the fuel that runs the rest of the conspiracy, the lousy education system, the black budget to the Pentagon, obviously our economy itself. And if you go back to Proverbs 22:7, you know, the debtor is slave to the lender. It is basically, you know, where we are. Essentially, we're all debt slaves. I mean, we all owe everything to the Federal Reserve, and people should be aware of that one thing is that the economy is totally dependent on what's essentially a Ponzi scheme. I mean, that's essentially what it is. I mean, the Federal Reserve, it takes money from today's investors to pay back yesterday's investors. Okay, and that's how it works. You know, and that's basically, you know, fundamentally, it's a Ponzi scheme. It's a joke. I mean, I hate to say it, but our economy is a joke. And if people look at the Constitution, you know, Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution specifies that Congress should be, you know, responsible for coining coining money and setting the value of money and that sort of thing. But that's, you know, that was written when we had a moral foundation in this country, and we were essentially a Christian nation and people were basically honest and whatnot. But unfortunately, even at that time, Alexander Hamilton, you know, went over to the dark side. And I'm disappointed to say that Alexander Hamilton was a Revolutionary War hero, basically a partner of George Washington, but he turned out to represent Rothschild money interest over in Europe, you know, the evil Rothschild family, and brought us the central bank, you know, the first starter, of the central bank. I think it was in 1781, I wanted, or 1792, I think it was, or 91 thereabouts. But
yeah,
so it's not like it's not conspiracy theory. You know, I don't know what they teach in school these days in our lousy education system. But this, they used to teach this stuff in high school history, and then so you fast forward, you know, there was a 20-year charter, it expired in, 1812 or whatever it was. And many people, many conspiracy theorists, so-called, will come out and say that this was the cause of the war. You know, the Rothschilds were very unhappy with the expiration of the charter of the bank, the first central bank. And we had the War of 1812. That was the real reason for it. And then it was renewed in 1816, I think it was, because the United States was, you know, was a budding nation at the time. And basically what happened was they were low on money because they just fought this war with England. Okay, Rothschild controlled England, right? And then they renewed it. And Andrew Jackson came along almost, you know, in 1832 and basically called the central bankers a den of vipers and thieves, okay, right out of the Bible when Jesus chased the money changers out of the temple, right?
And he
got rid of the second central bank, and they tried to kill him for it. They attempted to assassinate him. Unfortunately, both pistols that the assassin used didn't go off. But anyway, so he was, and then we didn't have a central bank in this nation until the current Federal Reserve System. And people may know, I mean, conspiracy theorists, so called, that may know about Jekyll Island and your Rothschild money interest allied with Rockefeller interest, Paul Warburg, the whole crowd, J.P. Morgan, you know, the gang bankers, as I like to call them, came in at Jekyll Island. What they did was they knew the central bank would be very unpopular, so they pulled Teddy Roosevelt out of the dustbin, had him run against the Republican president at the time. I think it was Taft, I believe it was, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, they split the Republican vote because they knew the Republican Congress, back when Republicans were a real party, not a bunch of rhinos like they are today. They split up the, you know, the Republican vote, and they let progressive Woodrow Wilson become president. And Woodrow Wilson, you know, in literally in the dark of night, like I think it was December 23rd, 1913, gave us the current federal, quote, reserve system. Okay, and basically, you know, again, what that was, it was presented as a they lied, like as I mentioned before, they called it the Federal Reserve. I mean, its very name is a lie. It's a private consortium of private bankers. Who really owns it? Nobody really knows. I mean, I've heard, you know, Rockefeller, Rothschild, you know, the usual names are the major stockholders in the Federal Reserve System. And as I mentioned, there's no reserves, and they basically usurped the Constitution, and Wilson signed it into law December 23rd, I believe it was, 1913, when Congress was, a lot of them were away on Christmas vacation. And along with that, you know, a few months earlier, they gave us the income tax in order to pay the interest on this money that they created out of nothing. And that's basically the system we have today. Now, the Federal Reserve was presented as a system. It was needed to, stabilize the economy, control inflation, and control unemployment, and this sort of thing. And it's done none of that. I mean, the dollar, you know, the U.S. dollar has lost almost 100% of its value since the creation of it, you know, in 1913. We've had several economic busts, including the Great Depression, since it's been created. And right now we're at the point where we are $37 trillion with a T in deficit to this private entity. That's today. That's the quote online deficit. The offline deficit is north of $100 trillion, according to many sources.
Oh my gosh! North of $100 trillion. Keep rolling. This is fascinating.
Yeah, and that's numbers I've heard. I mean, you know, who knows? I mean, I've heard numbers as high as a quadrillion. You know, I can't verify these names. This is from, you know, so-called conspiracy theorists, but that's basically what that consists of is, you know, stuff that if you or I did, you know, we'd be in jail. I mean, if they're taking money meant for, say, Social Security, they're taking the cash and they're using it to pay for other things. You know, remember, Social Security was created by FDR to, you know, because the Americans were too stupid to save for themselves after the Great Depression, and the government took that money, forced us to pay it, and they take it and pay for other things, but they're obligated to pay us back, so it's an unfunded liability, and I guess and that's basically where we are with that.
All right. Well, hang tough. We've got to do this break for the top of the hour. It's a little lengthy, but it's not bad. We'll come right back. You know, folks, keep in mind, not only was the income tax in the Federal Reserve created in 1913, but an outfit known as the Anti-Defamation League was also created in 1913. Stand by, please.
News, information, and intel from around the globe and elsewhere. Caravan to Midnight, DEFCON 1, will continue shortly.
Here's the Caravan.
In times where now, people do the poker.
Dominance.
Submission.
Radio's appear.
We took you up, and we put you in the backseat. Submission.
Radios appear.
From here to here, we looked up for the venture.
Dominance.
Submission.
Radios appear.
Dominance. Submission.
Perfect. Yeah, radios appear. I heard that. You know, you couldn't get a lyric sheet in those days. So when that Blue Oyster Cult, a secret treaties, I think it came off of, maybe, the ME-262 on the cover. And, I couldn't understand what you were saying at all. It turns out dominant submission radios appear. Now, here we are, right? And something else, Jim Ladd passed away on December 17, 2023. It's funny, you get awash in information and you miss stuff like that. So he was always true to his art. He is the literal inventor of freeform rock radio. And we'll miss him. Tom Petty's another one, checked out 66. Jim was in his 70s, but you just never know. So like the song says, the theme to Sons of Anarchy, live it right, you're not coming back. You really never know when that the eternity trigger is going to be pulled. Okay, we have commercial free time all the way to the bottom of the hour with Rob Roselli. Rob, I just have to ask you, why did you, what motivated you to take on these subjects and pursue them with such a verve?
Well, basically, look, I'm a concerned citizen of America, and, you know, a Christian, and I see my country being destroyed from within, although many people don't realize it. You know, it's right in front of our faces, and it was kind of a venue or an outlet, you know, to try and, you know, in the past put out a warning that this is what's happening. At this point, I think we're beyond the road to repair with the Federal Reserve System. So now it's more like a red alert that's going out, and, you know, and really it's kind of a segue into the rest of the quote conspiracy. So once people understand the Federal Reserve System, what a big lie it is, then you come to the conclusion that Jesus is the answer. And that's my short answer.
That's a pretty good answer.
It's a wake-up call. It is basically what it is.
I got you. Well, let me ask you this then. As we roll on through this, before we leave the Federal Reserve thing, too, first of all, folks, many people, we believe we know a lot of things that we really don't know. So what is a Ponzi scheme? We think we know, and we know it's a crooked deal. But what I'm looking at here, in a Ponzi scheme, an operator known as a schemer or a con artist often promises high returns with little or no risk. They may also use high-pressure sales tactics to convince investors to put their money into the scheme. The operator may use various methods to attract new investors, such as cold calling, networking, or advertising. However, the scheme ultimately relies on the constant influx of new investors to generate returns for the earlier investors. As new investors keep coming in, the scheme can continue operating and return profits to earlier investors. However, the scheme will inevitably collapse when the operator can no longer attract enough new investors, or when too many investors ask to cash out their investment simultaneously. As a result, early investors may lose a significant portion or all of their initial investment. Well, if it's just paper currency, what are they losing? They're just losing the paper currency, which is backed by nothing. And since the investors are the banks, they know this. So, wow, what a mess. The only thing that they can use as collateral are the properties and the actual people. I posited this some time ago. It's like, it seems to me that we're the collateral. So, let me ask another one. To whom is this money owed, this massive amount of debts? The country's in debt. $37, $40 trillion, $40 million. Who is that money owed to?
Well, let me just say this. Again, it's the government is currently going into debt to the system to the tune of $10 billion, with a B, per day, $100 trillion every 100 days. That's in debt. Okay, and that's probably what's going on. So basically, you know, I look at, you know, like, Giants, the new Giant Stadium here, you know, outside of New York City, okay, costs something like $2 billion a day. Now, that's a pro sports stadium. So just think about this. That's five. We could build five of those per day for what this country is going into debt. And it's insane. On top of the $37 trillion and the $100 trillion plus of offline deficit that we have. But to answer your question, it's, you know, the exact percentage is, let's say it's a third. So basically a third is owed to the private central bank itself, to the Federal Reserve System. A third is owed to foreign investors, China, Japan, Germany, and these kinds of countries that have taken dollars that are already in circulation and have rebought U.S. treasuries. You know, the 10-year bond that you hear about, the 30-year treasuries. You know, they mature and they have to be, you know, renewed for to keep the scam going. So they rebuy these treasuries. So that's a third. And then a third is, you know, private investors, you know, investment firms, corporations, private investors. You need to go to the bank and buy a bond, a government bond. And I'm not sure those numbers, you know, those are exactly correct. But that's more or less, you know, who the money is owed to. And the problem we're having now, Bill, is that it's a Ponzi scheme. It's a textbook Ponzi scheme, but with a twist that the Ponzi schemers themselves can print their own money. Okay, in a Ponzi scheme, you got to get outside investors to keep the thing going. But in this case, if outside investors stop investing in the scam, which they're currently doing, I mean, China is threatening to, you know, basically to dump all the treasuries and not roll over their existing debt, you know, due to Trump's tariff war, for instance. So what happens is the Federal Reserve, so-called, becomes the lender of last resort, they call it, which is a lie, because they're the ones that started the system in the first place. But, you know, so basically what that means is that the government, now get this, the government floats, say, a 10-year bond, you know, to keep the government open. You know, they say, well, we've got to keep the government open. We've got to increase the debt limit. So they increase the debt limit. The Federal Reserve creates money out of nothing and buys the bonds itself instead of having foreign investors buy the bonds. And if that sounds like, you know, the kids in a Monopoly game, you know, the banker handing out free, you know, paper money to all the other players, that's at its fundamental core, that's what it is. They're creating money out of nothing and loaning it back to the government at interest. And if you say, well, that's going to cause all the prices of the property to go up, that's exactly correct. And that's the inception of what we know as hyperinflation. And that's currently what's happening right now. I mean, you know, these foreign investors are getting away from the dollar, and it's forcing the government to the Federal Reserve to buy its own issued debt back, and it's just pumping more, you know, dollars backed by nothing back into the economy, and that's where we are right now. And it's at its core, it's a joke. And this is why I say the Federal quote Reserve it's a window into the conspiracy. It's that bad. It's such an overwhelming big lie. That people refuse to believe it or can't believe it. It's in our faces. But be aware, you know, that Rockefeller, for instance, I mean, these aren't stupid people. I mean, these are very, you know, cunning, intelligent, you know, Luciferians. And I mean that literally, devil worshippers. And I say the Bible's at the core of the quote conspiracy. And you'll kind of start to see what I was saying about before about this, you know, how big this thing is and why I'm getting the word out. But basically, you know, like Rockefeller started something called the General Education Board. He took over the education system. They took over the all the academic institutions in this nation with what's called the tax-exempt foundation. So not only did they create the Federal Reserve, they lied about it, as I mentioned. Okay, this is why Thomas Jefferson and Madison, you know, going back to Alexander Hamilton, they warned incessantly against a central bank, and Hamilton brought it to us. You know, the Federalists. This is the Federalists versus the Anti-Federalists. Again, going back to basic U.S. history, which they don't teach anymore, thanks to things like the Rockefeller's General Education Board, and they put out these idiotic what's called Keynesian economists. Okay, and John Maynard Keynes was basically a component of its spending by the government, but he was a scam artist, okay? And he said, we need this. And they put out, you know, Harvard Business School and Fox Business News and Hannity and the rest of them, and, you know, the so-called conservatives and Paul Krugman, you know, that schmuck over that writes for the New York Times, a Nobel Prize-winning economist, so-called, saying, you know, we need to go out, you know, we need to go into debt to get out of debt, or we need to go into debt. You know, if it's good social spending, then we can go into debt. It's justified. They're all either liars or they're scam artists because they came out under the institutions funded by the same people that gave us the Federal Reserve in the first place. So they created what's called these tax exempt foundations. So they could take all their money and exempt themselves from the own taxes that they created. Yes, the system is that bad. You know, things like the Ford Foundation, the Rockefeller Brothers Fund, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, and the names go on and on. You know, and they all fund these, and Soros is the latest. You know, he's the newest member of that club, George Soros, and they fund all these institutions to put out there, you know, this economic sewage. And this intellectual, you know, we need the Federal Reserve System. It's necessary. And they pump it through all these business schools, and all the experts say, well, we need this and we need that. And the Federal Reserve is presented as some kind of the gods of finance, and we need them and all this sort of thing. I mean, even Rush Limbaugh, when he was alive, and I don't want to bash the guy, I know he's dead, but, you know, even he was, you know, it was conspiracy theories. He got against the Federal Reserve. You know, it was better than having Congress, you know, Congress coin money. You know, we need these private shadowy bankers to issue independent of the government to issue our federal, you know, issue our debt, our money. But are you kidding me? I mean, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. Because,
well,
you know, it's
no racehorse wins every
certainty.
Time. I'm sorry, Rob. Yeah. Repeat that. I'm sorry. Because why? Say that again.
I can say it's a mathematical and logical certainty that the system's going to collapse. It has to collapse. I mean, you just, if you think about it logically, you just can't go into debt perpetually and not have it affect you. I mean, you just, so people may be asking, so why do we need to work at all? That's a very good question. Okay, that's part of the scam. Because we're all, you know, we're hamsters in a wheel. I mean, it, you know, theoretically, the Federal Reserve can just We could all just sit at home and the Federal Reserve can print money out of nothing and give everybody in the country $1 million. And that would be it. We don't have to work. We don't have to produce anything. And people will say, well, that'd be pretty stupid. Then you know, money would be worth nothing. You know, a gallon of milk would cost $100,000. You know, we'd all be millionaires. And that's exactly correct. But that's why, you know, that's the whole scam. It's to go into debt to the Federal Reserve and pay them interest for the honor of doing so. It's that bad. I mean, again, it's not hidden. It's in our faces.
The numbers are so big now, Rob, with these trillions of dollars. Okay, set that aside for a minute, the huge numbers. Then we look at the stock market. Will the Dow go over 20,000? It did. Will the Dow go over 30,000? Yes, it did. Will the Dow go over 40,000? And, of course, we know it did. So my question, I guess, is, are there enough assets of any kind to back up this debt, other than, you know, the entire country? Here, we'll sell you all 50 states. That ought to be worth about $40 trillion. I mean, and if we were to back it with gold and silver or platinum or whatever, I wonder if there are enough natural resources to produce enough precious metals, let's just stick with that for a second, to support trillions upon trillions of dollars in spending. Because if you got debt, it means that you're spending it, right? You can't have debt unless you spent yourself into it. You just automatically have debt. So what's the way out of this? Or is there a way?
well, John, we're trapped. We're in an economic doom loop. And I'll keep saying it, and I'll keep poking this in into the conversation. This is why Jesus himself chased the money changers with whips out of the temple, not once but twice. Okay, he couldn't stand these guys, and these are the modern day money changers. It's mathematically impossible to pay off the Federal Reserve debt. Even if they sucked, if they vacuumed every dollar in existence back into, and that's how they would have to pay off the Federal Reserve, because remember, they created the money in the first place, and so we're in debt to them. So you would have to literally suck every dollar created ever. But even then, we couldn't pay, because remember, they're charging us interest created for the money they created out of nothing. So John, if you were the government and I'm the Federal Reserve and I loan you $10 and you go out and spend it on defense and Social Security and whatever the government spends money on, that's a whole other conversation, the illegal spending. But anyway, let's just say, you know, you do that. I mean, how are you ever going to pay me back? You know, and I charge you 10% interest. Now you owe me $11, but it's like, all right, so where are you going to get the money to pay me back? I mean, you'd have to go in and, you know, now you got 10 physical dollars. So you take that money back, you give it back to me. Now you got no money, but you still owe me a dollar in interest. And that's fundamentally how the system works. The only way to keep the scam going is for you to borrow another $10 from me the next year. And then it's just ongoing and ongoing. And that's basically, you know, fundamentally where we are. And that's just it. It's that bad. Now, Henry Ford was a supporter of the Nazis. You know, he basically came out and said, it's better that people don't really understand how the economy really works. He said, there'd be a revolution before tomorrow morning. If people really understood this, how bad it is, that's basically what he said. And he was exactly correct. Okay. This is just where we are, and we can't get out of it. Now, I've heard a lot of economists out there, you know, people I have respect for and very smart people say, you know, well, we got to back the dollar with gold. That'll solve the problem. And then I'm saying they're wrong. They're correct, because that's what Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution specifies. But that's not politically tenable at this point, because basically Congress and the government, you know, what the Federal Reserve has allowed, it's like a honey trap. They've allowed the Congress to borrow money with no discipline, with no gold standard, okay, with no backing, and basically buy themselves votes. And this is where all the money comes from for things like the Great Society, the concept of guns and butter, okay, during the 60s. Remember, that's another thing they used to teach in high school history, you know, where the U.S. government would start this huge welfare program known as the Great Society. At the same time, they were funding the Vietnam War, and they called it guns and butter. And all this undisciplined spending was made possible by the Federal Reserve System. And we've lived, you know, high off the hog for all these decades and all these years. But it's right now, today, 2025, it's getting close to the time to pay the piper, so-called. Okay, and we're going to find out all the economic experts, so-called, were wrong. And the conspiracy theorists, like yours truly, were correct. And I say that most unfortunately. Okay, and Thomas Jefferson, you know, he warned us. He was the anti-Federalist party, him along with James Madison, against the Hamiltonian central bankers. You know, he basically came out and said, I fear central banks more than standing armies. He saw the central bank as a bigger enemy of the country than a physical army. Okay, and unfortunately, we are going to see the correctness of that. I guess prediction or warning to the full right now. Okay, and people may ask, well, what about Doge and, you know, the Department of Government Efficiency? And Trump says he's going to pay off the, you know, the debt with all these new investments and these tariffs. Well, Trump's lying. I mean, the MAGA people out there may not want to hear this, and, you know, basically little old me is out here saying this. I can't believe that Trump and Musk aren't aware of this. But Doge is a joke in a sense. And look, they're doing some great things. They're exposing a lot of corruption and fraud. But it's drops in the bucket. It's nothing. Okay, remember when you see Hannity and these people on Fox News get on and get all excited, or they cut $1 billion here and $1 billion there. So what? It's fractions of a percent of what the actual debt is. Remember I said before, we go into debt to the tune of $10 billion worth of B a day. So $1 trillion every 100 days. So when Doge comes out and says, oh, we're going to save the taxpayers $1 trillion by 2026, so what? It's a few percentage of the online deficit. Okay? It's remember, the offline deficit is anywhere, it's $100 trillion or anywhere north of that. So what's, you know, we have to ask, what's Trump really up to? What's his ulterior motives? I don't know. You know, and kind of in his defense, you know, it's politically untenable to come in and say you're going to get rid of the Federal Reserve System. I mean, 80% of the federal budget is already obligated with things like Social Security and welfare payments and defense and everything else the government spends money on. You can't touch it. So, you know, it's impossible to pay off. That's just the situation we're in. We've gotten ourselves into. I mean, our founders were devout Christians. Okay, they warned. They want a limited government, a United States issued treasury that was debt free. Okay, and Lincoln tried to issue, you know, greenbacks during the Civil War, debt free greenbacks. They tried to assassinate him. When they did essentially assassinate him for it, 100 years later. Okay, JFK came in and issued Executive Order 11110, which authorized the distribution of debt-free United States silver coins directly from the Treasury, which would have been a competitive, currency to these Federal Reserve notes, and they killed him for it. You know, and over the last month, I was on really, you know, shows all across the country, and you know, who killed JFK, and I think, you know, I'm 99% confident, and you can't be 100% confident. You'll be 100% confident of is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, okay? But I'm like 98-99% confident it was the owners of the Federal Reserve System that knocked off JFK, okay? You know, all this other stuff, you know, the Mossad, Australia, the Mafia, all this other. Yeah, they all hated him, I'm sure, but you know, the real reason is because he would have gotten rid of the Federal Reserve System, and he could have done it, because that was when the country was still kind of a morally Christian nation, and it was before the Great Society and all these massive deficits. He might have pulled off paying off the Federal Reserve instead at that time.
Yeah, let's keep in mind that these central bank owners, the Rothschild bankers and others in London and Brussels and in a few other places, please keep in mind, these people are all from the same group, and they do not charge each other interest.
Nobody here knocking at my door. The sound of silence, I can't take anymore.
tell you how time goes by quickly when you're having an enriching conversation like this one with our guest tonight. First time he's been on the program, Rob Roselli. Rob, where do we get your books? I'm sure they are compelling. Where can we get them?
The website's boxofsunglasses.com. That's all one word. Boxofsunglasses.com and my three books. You know, my first book is They Live, Great Society of the Undead. Okay, the undead, of course, being the United Nations. There's a deeper meaning to that we don't have time to get into right now, but that's my first book. That's really long. The second book is might be the most relevant to today's conversation is The Un-American Genocidal Complex. Okay, and then the third book, Pleased to Meet You, and I just took the so-called conspiracy and I put it into a fictional conversation with a Satan character and an O'Brien character from George Orwell's 1984 and in the spirit of C.S. Lewis Screwtape Letters and a kind of another angle of trying to explain the conspiracy, you know, in a quote fictional account, although many of the events in that book are actual history. But anyway, they're available on my website and the inspiration and people always ask, you know, what box of sunglasses, basically what it is, it's when Roddy Piper finds the box of sunglasses, you know, in my favorite movie, John Carpenter's They Live, and he puts them on and he sees the world from a whole new perspective. And hopefully that's, you know, that's what this conversation is inducing is to people, to detox from the media and the so-called experts and think about what's really going on. Some of my books you go on there and you click through and there's links to the three books and, you know, and I'm self-funded. Okay. I don't advertise. I'm not connected to other websites. So, you know, if people like what they hear and they want to hear me again, they can go on and support me by buying my books. And also I have, you know, eBooks, you know, Mystery Babylon USA, and another ebook, you know, about Robert Christian, the creator of the Georgia Guidestones, which is a very interesting name throughout human history. Okay, and there are donation links on those pages, and those are on my homepage as well, so people can support me in that way. And basically that's it. And I would greatly appreciate it if people go in there and they're all my books are fully documented, obviously, except for Pleased to Meet You, but The Un-American Genocidal Complex and The Great Society, I mean, there's hundreds of footnotes and bibliography and documents in there that back up and corroborate everything we're talking about right now.
Excellent. Folks, it's interesting that the ones that purvey these, the purveyors of all this Bravo Sierra so-called news that do nothing except follow orders, they are puppets. Almost every last one of them. The only place that you can find any, I mean, every once in a while, when the moon turns blue, you might get a truthful story out of them, but not often. And they attempt to, they just follow orders. They're guiding the narrative. That's why these freelancers out there on YouTube and other channels and their own channels, their own websites and so forth, these are the people that are actually presenting information that's worth putting into your brain and spending your time on. So boxofsunglasses.com, check it out and support the people who are trying to support us. Let me ask you something. Outfits like the ACLU and the World Economic Forum and all of these nutcases out there, you seem to indicate here they're part of a conspiracy to reshape society. Because eventually this Ponzi scheme has to collapse, and I guess they have to have the structure in place before it does. But what advice, I guess, with the media and the educational institutions perpetuating these lies, I mean, in the university system, especially the Ivy League universities, ladies and gentlemen, it's just all they're doing is teaching very expensive propaganda, placing their graduates in positions of influence, and then keeping this whole scheme running. We know something's wrong. We know that they're trying to take Christianity out of the American experience altogether. So what advice, Rob, would you give to people who are trying to uncover what you believe is the truth? I'm thinking go to the Bible first. It's all in there. The whole thing is laid out, and then just adapt it to what you see happening before your eyes, and you'll come close. But that may be too simplistic for some people. So what are you thinking?
2 Corinthians chapter 11. I mean, the simplicity of Christ, okay? To start backwards from your question, is basically where, you know, what the solution is. And people may not want to hear that or believe that, but that's basically what it boils down to. And that is a solution. I remember Jesus, you know, in John chapter 19, he's having a conversation with Pontius Pilate. He said, "I came to the earth to represent truth, and I am the truth." And Pilate asked him, you know, "Well, what is truth?" And the Son of God was standing right in front of him. And again, that's the only thing that's 100% true in this world. And I admonish people to believe that. And on top of my website, I have God's Simple Salvation Plan. That's not there by accident. And that's basically it. I mean, just to kind of go back to the example of the Federal Reserve System, we should have listened to Proverbs 22:7. We should have listened to our founders, or the majority of them, who were devout Christians, okay, and kept our federal government limited to the duties specified in the United States Constitution. But again, these evil Luciferians, and I mean that literally, and maybe we can get to that on a future show if I come back on what's really going on, because the Federal Reserve is just a cover story. But anyway, you know, don't forget, again, they formed the tax-exempt foundations to fund and all these education systems, and not just the education system. I mean, you mentioned the media a few minutes ago. The media is owned, okay? Walter Cronkite, CBS, Luce, okay, you know, the original owner of Time Magazine, they were all brought under the auspices of the same bankers that formed the Federal Reserve System. Again, these weren't stupid people. John Rockefeller, Nathan Rothschild, and the rest of them, the gangbankers, I like to call them, they weren't stupid. These were evil, you know, ascribable to Satan himself. And I mean that literally, okay? And again, we don't have time to get into that. I see we're 20 minutes away from the close already, but they bought up all the media. They bought up the education systems. They bought off the politicians, okay? And then people may ask, you know, again, you know, why hasn't anybody spoken up against this? And my answer to that question is people have. I mean, Charles Lindbergh, okay, was vehemently spoke out. You know, the father of the famous aviator vehemently spoke out against the Federal Reserve System. And you know, they kidnapped his son or his grandson. Another congressman by the name of Lewis McFadden was shooting his mouth off about the evils of the Federal Reserve System, and he was poisoned. Okay, I mentioned JFK. Okay, he tried to issue debt-free United States silver coins, and they blew his head off in broad daylight and blamed it on Lee Harvey Oswald, which, you know, we don't have time to get into the Kennedy assassination, which, you know, he was killed with the only bullet in history that defied Newton's laws of physics and the law of conservation of mass. He had that whole joke, of Oswald, okay? And then who sat on the Warren Commission, you know, but a bunch of, you know, Rockefeller front men, you know, Dulles and Gerald Ford and John McCloy, okay, from Chase Manhattan Bank, okay, you know, Rockefeller-owned entity, you know, and they whitewashed it. They issued tens of thousands of pages in the Warren Commission report, and then Trump just issued, you know, all the JFK files, which was 80,000 pages of nonsense. It was all a lie, okay, to cover up the fact that they blew his head off because he wanted to get rid of the Federal Reserve System. And in my opinion, he was the last president that could have pulled it off, that could have gotten us out of this mess. You know, if he would have been allowed to live and, you know, we could have paid off the Federal Reserve gangbankers and stopped this madness before the Great Society, before the Vietnam War. And he was killed because of it. But and here we are, okay? And you know, look, it's politically untenable at this point to get rid of the Federal Reserve System. It's like a leech or a giant octopus that sucked the life out of us. You know, if people are wigging out now because, you know, Trump and Doge has gotten rid of, like, you know, what, 50 or 100,000 government workers, what do you think is going to happen when they try to get rid of the welfare system, when they take people off welfare? You don't think this country would literally explode overnight?
If they
really
tried
to get rid of the Federal Reserve System, it's ready now, you know, because people are so dumbed down and stupid. They don't know what's going on, but it's happening, okay? And it's going to be chaos, you know? And again, get right with God. I mean, that's all I can say. I mean, people, I'm pessimistic, and I'm optimistic because, you know, I know ultimately, you know, who's in charge of this whole mess, but unfortunately, we're going to have to go through some tough times, and tough times are coming. Whether people want to hear that or not, doesn't exempt us from the fact that, you know, we've used the Federal Reserve System. It's a honey trap. Again, we've spent trillions and trillions of dollars of money we don't really have on luxuries, and we're all going to pay for it, literally and figuratively. And this is where we are. And these are evil people. Okay, and I see John. I've been spewing here for over an hour, but you know, they fund everything. I mean, they fund wars. They you mentioned the ACLU and communism. Okay, communism was again a tool of the same gangbangers. Okay,
absolutely. I call them the usual suspects. Yeah, it was the usual suspects that were behind Bolshevism and everything else, you know. It's absolutely insane. It really is. It's the same money changers and their little lackeys and minions. That's what it is, folks. Nothing. Look, Solomon was correct. There is nothing, zero, zip, bupkis, new under the sun. The costumes change, the years roll by. The methods of transportation change and all that, but the activities of men and their hearts do not change. That's why nothing ever gets fixed, because the same people who demanded Christ be crucified for blasphemy, I mean, are the same ones that are running things, and they are. They do not charge each other interest. You know, this rocket mortgage. I mean, this thing went out that no Jewish people are allowed to take out a loan with a mortgage, 30-year fix or any of that. Not to do that with rocket mortgage, because it's illegal for Jewish people to charge other Jewish people, interest. Now, that may be unsavory information to some people. Well, prove me wrong. You can't, but I don't mean you, Rob. I mean anybody out there that's going, well, look it up. You're going to find out. I'm telling you straight. So nothing has changed. The fashion sense and the tech and everything else has changed, but the motivations and the actual machinery of what runs the world, which runs on money, and look how many people are out there, and they all need money. They all need the same thing. At the same time, nobody ever heard of anybody. I mean, Charles Whitman was the first one we ever heard of way back in the day in the 60s. I want to say 64, somewhere around in there. To shoot up a bunch of people from the tower at University of Texas at Austin. So he shoots them up in Austin. John Kennedy gets shot up in Dallas. A coincidence? LBJ comes from Texas. John Connally comes from Texas. The Bushes come out of Texas. I mean, come on. This is not a difficult code to crack. It's the same crew. It's the identical crew. And they are not what you call God-fearing Christians. None of them. They aren't. And I tell you, Rob, I think there's more than a good chance that we will actually see the return of the Lord. And it's going to be weird before he gets here. And I don't think people are prepared for how weird it's going to get. And the only thing that's going to get them through it is faith. I'll stop now. I'll stop the preaching now, but only for a minute, okay? There are just some fundamental things that cannot be denied. And so if you know who your enemy is, well, avoid if you can, block if you can't avoid, and the third alternative is go for them. That's it. I mean, people are acting so weird. I mean, smashing Teslas is just the beginning. Rob, I'm thinking within the next couple of weeks, just based on information I've received recently within the last 48 hours, that things may get really, really ugly. In a couple of weeks, this summer promises to be a very tumultuous summer. I just really wonder how long before things really bust loose. And it'll come from a direction we don't expect. I'll stop now. Over to you.
No, please. It's your show, so please, you know, take as you will. But basically, look, I'm 100% agreement. You know, right underneath the surface, again, is the Bible. Okay, the Bible is the core of the cult conspiracy. I mean, there's a lot of conspiracy theorists out there. I mean, people like, say, like Jim Mars, and I'm not bashing the guy, you know, but he comes out with these books, and I've cited him in my first book, and, you know, as far as a lot of the stuff. But they don't see the divine side of this. They don't see the biblical side of this, okay? And that's where the whole conspiracy comes from. I mean, if you look at the evil that we're talking about here, remember, we've only covered in the last, you know, hour and change or whatever I've been on, we've only covered the economic side of this, okay? In my book, The Un-American Genocidal Complex, which features, you know, the logo of Skull and Bones, okay, the American Illuminati, okay, that's illuminated, okay, on the back of your Federal Reserve note. That's the open eye of Osiris, the Egyptian god of Osiris and Ra. Well, time to get into, I mean, spend hours talking about Greek and Babylonian mythology and how that ties into this whole mess. But the long story is, that's not on your Federal Reserve note or your dollar bill by accident, okay? That's a sign that these are Luciferians, and they intend to rebuild the power of Babel, okay, the antediluvian age, you know, Genesis 6, and again, that's, we can spend hours talking about that as well, but basically, these people want to rebuild Atlantis, okay, which was the evil society that existed before the flood, or the Tower of Babel, Nimrod, you know, people are familiar with that, going back to the book of Genesis, but they want to build their new world order in honor of their god, Lucifer/Satan, okay, and that's the long and short of it for the Skull and Bones logo on my book, The Un-American Genocidal Complex. Okay, so these are evil, evil people to the core, okay? And one of their sayings is order out of chaos, okay? They think that they are going to induce chaos in America and on the earth in terms of riots, mass riots, all this kinds of chaos. Wars, okay, wars and rumors of wars, the Olivet Discourse, and people are going to literally kill each other, and they're going to come out of it alive, okay? And I'm sure you've mentioned the Georgia Guidestones, you know, in past shows, okay? And they also features on the cover of the Un-American Genocidal Complex, and basically, in a nutshell, the same gangbangers that gave us the Federal Reserve System, which, again, is just the fuel for the rest of the conspiracy, are the same ones that gave us communism, okay, which was the death of tens of millions of people, and Adolf Hitler, okay, and that's fully documented in that book, okay, and I traced, you know, the foundation of Hitler, okay, if Hitler would not have existed without Rockefeller industrial interests like IG Farben, Standard Oil, IBM, Ford. Okay, Henry Ford, in fact, received the medal from the Nazis in 1938 for the industrial contributions he made. So the Nazi war machine and Adolf Hitler does not exist without the same Federal Reserve gangbangers. Okay, and not only economically, but philosophically. Okay, we haven't even touched on the theory of evolution. Okay, the biggest scam, way bigger than the climate change scam. Okay, I know it's not as a sexy part of a conspiracy, but you won't hear many conspiracy theorists talking about evolution, but that's the base of this whole thing, okay, the elimination of God, okay, that came, you know, came here and throughout the world, okay, that's why we're seeing all this transhumanism, and man shall become as gods, you know, with transhumanism, that sounds familiar, that's the same lie, as you mentioned, people don't change, going back to Genesis 3, okay, but, you know, but they founded the American Eugenics Society. Okay, and out of the American Eugenics Society became, you know, that was rooted in social Darwinism, survival of the fittest. Okay, and that gave us, you know, that was the Hitlerian, you know, philosophy. Okay, and people say, well, Hitler was trying to create a master race. Well, where did he get his ideas from? He got it from social Darwinism, from people that gave us Charles Darwin, you know, the same gangbangers that produced the lie. These people literally believe this stuff. Okay. And they're trying to control the world, and they've been manipulating world events since time immemorial. And it's just becoming online, okay? And from the American Eugenics Society, we got things like Margaret Sanger's Negro Project, okay? Margaret Sanger basically came out and said, well, while I have eugenics and social Darwinism, I mean, why even allow these misfits and morons and human weeds to be born? Why even allow them to live? We just kill them before they're born, okay? And that was the inception of the American Birth Control League, which you know today as Planned Parenthood. And her number one enemy was black people, okay? I'll just come out and say that.
That's right. You're absolutely right. Keep rolling.
And she was, you know, she came out of this philosophy, and she was friends with and a pen pal of one Adolf Hitler, as were many Americans in the American Eugenics Society. And who was behind that but the Rockefeller Foundation and the Rockefeller Clan and the Rothschilds and the rest of them? Because they want to control the world, and they're doing it through economic control and population control. Okay, so people may say, well, whoa, you know, so yes, these Democrats, these liberal Democrats that support abortion, this is actually what they're supporting. This is pure evil. And of course, out of that came the United Nations and the environmental movement, okay? And the environmental movement really isn't about saving the environment. And we can spend, you know, an entire show talking about the scam of global warming, global cooling, climate change. And I have a link on my website called The Inconvenient Scientific Method, and people can read that. But, you know, why would they give us that lie? Again, it's about control. It's about herding people into smart cities or just genociding them to death out of nothing. Again, the same gang bankers are behind us. And this is all documented in my book, The Un-American Genocidal Complex. The same people that gave us the AIDS virus. Yes, I just said that. And it's documented that the precursor to the current COVID and the pandemic and the vaccine scam, these mRNA vaccines, the same crowd, it's the same game plan. And again, it's fully documented, and the documents are in there in the bibliography of the Un-American Genocidal Complex. The government's been experimenting on American people since after World War II. And I have government documents in the bibliography to substantiate that.
That's beautiful. It's dark, but it's beautiful. Folks, why don't you take a trip over to boxofsunglasses.com and read some serious, serious, eye-opening truth. Rob Roselli, God bless you and protect you and speed you on your mission. I assure you, if I have my way about it, we will talk again. Take care out there. God bless you, everyone. Remember, nobody really dies. You understand what I'm saying to you? There's no easy way out. Good night.